I was watching it from somewhere. Interesting times indeed we meet under. Concord is still sitting. It is still to pronounce. So many things are happening in our country this day and age. We can only assume what your children and your children's children are going to tell you one day, that on this day, year 2017, we say viva to you, we say shame on you. That's what your children or your children's children are going to tell you, depending. Without waste of time, we have two sessions combined into one. They all talk to one specific matter, and that has to do with the department's budget and its annual performance plan. We have had a session last week, which has its own gaps that warrant that before we start with our report, we get a feedback from the department on some of those gaps. And also before we even get to our budget report, we also are going to get a bite from the Office of the Auditor General. Their own impressions, their own understanding, their own analysis, informed, of course, by what happened in the past year, just generally how it works. Having planned in the past financial year, executed through the annual report, now ready to get going with the new financial year, which has effectively started in April. We have, among others, written to the Minister of Water and Sanitation, formally stating our displeasure on behalf of the committee on the monthly stipends that are paid to the respective catchment management agencies, that is Nkomati Usutu and also Bredehoutse Gorits catchment management agency. We are still awaiting that feedback. We have formally written out of an experience that we had 2 weeks ago when it became very clear that what our discussion and decision of last year was has not as yet been implemented. One of those issues that we deliberated upon and agreed upon is that those that continue to pay or to receive any income or to allow such payments will have to take full responsibility in bringing back that money to government. What we're talking about here, AG's office, is that a practice of having to pay a board member a monthly stipend as if the person is employed is continuing within the two entities, and that practice must come to a stop. That's what I'm referring to. So if we have any word from the department, that shall be appreciated. We are going to follow on the matter to the letter, to a point where what that means is that we'll have to see practically that this money indeed is being paid for, to a point where we even get evidence to that effect. So it's not just going to be one of those that we decide upon and it gets going, we don't make any follow-ups, or we even forget about some of those. It's not going to be any one of those. It is something that we've taken a very stern view on, that it must indeed happen. There are a few others, perhaps before we even get on with the AG's office, if we can get the office of the ministry or department to just come before us, and then we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Chair. Just to confirm that the communication was received and that the matter Chair is referring to is being addressed, and there shall be a response from the Minister soon on all the matters raised by the committee in writing to the Minister.
As of now, we're going to work on timelines. The language that talks about soon is not going to exist at all anymore going forward. We had a management meeting yesterday wherein we resolved that the resettlement of those communities at Nandoni, we get weekly updates on progress. The second one is about the legislation. Also that we get weekly updates on those. With regards to the matter raised, we can only say and safely say that next week, not soon, but on Wednesday next week, we get such a feedback. Are we fine with that, members? Mr. Chauke, Mr. Speaker?
No, Chair. No, thank you for the opportunity, Chair. I just wanted clarity that in today's meeting, did we invite the department? The reason that I'm asking this question, Chair, is that I wanted us to, as we do that, obvious, deal with issues of accountability. Who accounts, who carries the mandate in line of communication? Because I see that the parliamentary liaison of the minister seems to be the person responding on the issues that are raised by the chair, and at the level of authority and accountability, I'm not sure that because at some point she must come and give us a report back of the issues that were raised, and we'll definitely be engaging a very wrong person, because neither to speak in portfolio committee meeting, it's not permissible. We deal with those that are accountable to the committee, and therefore, Chair, I think if we have not invited the department, it means that let's note these issues and do a formal a letter that we must send to the department to respond with all what you have said, Chair, rather than putting the parliamentary liaison to be the person that carries the positions of the committee. I think we can have to formalize it in that fashion. Really not undermining the fact that she's a parliamentary liaison between parliament and Noshkon, but when it comes to issues of accountability, she may not have that mandate to deal with such matters. So I thought that all the issues that the chair has raised must be noted properly and must be communicated to the department formally.
Point noted. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we've just been this document has just been circulated with some responses to issues that were raised at the meeting we had with the Minister last week. I've just got a few comments to make on that, if I may. Number one is fine. Number two says that the errors have been rectified. If that is the case, can we please have the correct copy, the rectified copy, so that we are looking at referring to a correct document when we refer to it in future. And then number three, it says hyphens are used for all indicators that have no historical information. That is absolutely not accurate. And I asked that question specifically because there were projects on that particular table that I was referring to, like Clan William Dam and Hazelmere Dam, which are projects which were started in 2011 already. There is historical data. That table included financial years preceding 2016-17 and 17-18. So that data should have been included in that report, and it wasn't. So that is response number three is actually not acceptable at all. And number four as well is very, very vague. When and by when and at what cost? It's too vague. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks for that intervention, Mr. Speaker. The issues are very straightforward that you are raising. Indeed, we have to unpack a number of those, and of course also the exact revised a copy, if it can be presented to our committee. Can we have that before Wednesday next week? Okay. So we take an approach that says we welcome you in our meeting, Mrs. Slater. However, we don't expect much from you. Maybe it's a lesson. Madia, also from our side, it's not happening for the first time. Whenever we are going to get any reports, it gets assumed that the department is not to be part of our meeting, which clearly what members are saying is wrong. So the department officials have to be part of this, and a mandated official, a senior executive, will have to be part of these meetings so that we get to talk directly to the department who is mandated, official who is mandated by the department. So that's the message that we are getting. Perhaps when we communicate in future, Madia, we need to extend that invitation to the department that we are expecting, much as we are to be dealing with a report, but we are expecting a senior mandated official from the department who shall carry forth and respond, as a matter of fact, to issues raised by members of parliament here. I think that's what we are saying. And the issues raised are communicated, and perhaps if we can also put that in writing instead of simply just, you know, depending on Mrs. Slater, we put it in writing. It has come written. That is now the response, and ours should in turn be a written response, so that there is a paper trail, and also there is no confusion about an expectation. Issues are in black and white. Mr. Chuck, sorry.
No. Chair, the respond that comes from the minister. I'm not sure, Chair, that the response covers all the issues that were raised. I may want to get clarity from the committee, the administrator, on issues that were raised, because we said we'll write them formally. Maybe to get clarity, because what I see here, we raised a number of things around the issue of construction companies that are not supposed to be in the response today, and if not obvious, why we don't get the response. Maybe you can help us just to recap on the issues that were raised and see if the response, in fact, has covered all the issues. Because one of the most controversial thing, not controversial as such, but an area that is of great concern, is that the issue of the construction company and the decisions that you have taken there. So maybe if we can just get a recap from the committee, then it will help us to know what were the issues.
Okay, thanks, members. In terms of the issue that was outstanding, specifically from last week's meeting, one of the issues that was raised was around the Monsuk judgment. That was the resolution of the committee, was that information needed to be submitted last week Thursday, and it was circulated to members. Also, in terms of the construction unit, the instruction that the department needed to submit information about projects, what was the initial budget, what was the initial timeline, progress in respect to the project, that information was also received and circulated to members electronically. I'm not sure if hard copies were circulated, but we did circulate that, and we did receive those responses. So those were the key.
Mr. Paswan, can we attend to the noise at the back? Salika? Can we attend to the noise at the back? Thanks. Sorry, Mr. Paswan.
Chair, there was numerous other questions that was asked that's not on the list. I even went so far and asked the chairperson whether I should put that in writing, and he said, no, the DG should take note of this. There was a lot of financial issues concerning the budget, the spending of the budget, paying of contractors, paying of water boards, their calculations and the written reply on questions that I got didn't merge. If they said they've paid this, they couldn't have had that money. So, you know, on that even we didn't get. There was a question concerning two different replies to questions on what do they owe Mahalish Water and Rand Water. On the one document they said it was 10 million. On the other document, on another question, they said it's 77 million. We asked clarity on that as well. That is also not included. So, Chair, there is numerous, and if we've got to put that in writing, although the Chair made a ruling that the DG must note all these questions and they must come back with answers on it. Chair, and then there was a request that the Chair also made the request that the construction unit must, now I know it won't happen today or maybe next week, but as soon as possible, the construction unit and their management, they must come and appear before this committee and come and explain to us what happened at Clem William, why are they off. And Chair, it was very clear that the minister gave the wrong information, and I showed her the document of appointment letter that was in 2013. So, you know, we wanted full clarity. I went through that document on Clem William. This document does not, what we received, talks just about a construction unit, 2,700 workers working for the construction unit, and how it's been split up in north and south and who are the management. But there's nothing. The document, I want the document only on Clem William. When it started, what happened, why were they taken off that project, is a specific question that's been asked. So 2.5 million paid every month to 53 workers not working since September last year, that ratepayers are paying. They're not out on tender yet. The process could take 3 months. It's been extended for 6 months, Chair. So please, the minister should not come with short notes like this and think we are accept. How must I consider any budget if she conceded that they were from page 72 to page 100, there's a problem with the figures there? And then we must take a decision on today whether we accept this budget or not. The minister must come with information, or the DG. I think it's time officials take responsibility, not the minister, on this matter. The minister is playing around with politics, and we want officials to be kept accountable.
So what we are saying in a nutshell is that instead of relying on word of mouth, we put it in writing. This is what we're expecting from the department, so that next week before we start our meeting, we start off with those issues. Okay. The issues are very simple and straightforward. We then shall move to the AG's office. We shall then take us through the budget and the plans for the department. And thereafter, we get on to our own report, informed by the wisdom from our learned friends here. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm going to ask my colleague to start off with the presentation and then I'll finish. Over to Stephen.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, and thanks, Honorable Committee members. I think, as the Chair has already alluded to, we'll try to talk to the matters within the APP, and we'll touch a bit just on budget, reflecting the amounts which have been forecasted there. I think that slide still talks to our mandate as the Supreme Audit Institution, and our endeavour is still to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance within the public sector. And here, Chair, this is where we try to play that role of enabling accountability. And at any given point in time, if you feel like we are holding back, you must call us into remembering our mandate and what we say we have come here to try and achieve. I think the overview of our presentation for today.
All the members do know you. Do they? Do you all know the two persons from, just by way of quick one?
Thanks. Apologies, Chair, and apologies, Honourable Members. My name is Stephen Kheledi. I'm from Auditor General, and I'm a Senior Manager on the Water Trading Entity Division. So
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I'm Suret Talyard, and I'm responsible for the main account audit.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Member, Honourable Members. The slide outlines the flow of our presentation for today, where we're going to look at. We said we should perhaps always try to remind ourselves when we are engaged within the space of the APPs what is at heart of it,
and we'll talk to a slide that we see projects that are a bit better. We'll look at the audit outcomes of the portfolio, focusing particularly just around the financial discipline within the department, the entity, as well as some the water boards that we've presented the presentation for. And then we will look at the 17-18 APP review of the department that we conducted, and we'll look at the overview areas that we looked at and what are the concerns, if we have any concerns around that. Then we'll look at the budget analysis and then the key matters for noting. And then we'd also like to highlight our audit methodology, which we say we have tweaked it a bit so that it kind of like lifts all the matters that we say are of great concerns, and we focus at the right the efforts of the audit are focused at the right and the most prevalent issue matters that at hand. So when we move on, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we thought that slide that is reflected here captures a bit around where the APP sits and around the importance of it and around how we get to it, and also looking at how we continuously monitor the activities around it and how we ultimately come to report on it. And the way we see it, we always say, okay, yes, there's Parliament, and there's Parliament through its committees and its structures. That's where around where policy developments sit, and that's where we start looking at where we want to take our public service and our public sector activities through all the different departments and entities that we have. And then out of that policy that has been developed, that cascades down to these specific entities and departments for them to actually come up with a strategic plan document that talks to that policy development. And included in that strategic document would obviously have our strategic documents, and then we have our MTSFs, and we have our APPs where they sit there, and then we move on clockwise to operating, planning and budgeting, where there's budgets that are allocated to these activities, to costing to achieve these objectives that sits in these plans that we have. Then from there we always say, then after we have set up all those targets and performance indicators, we've costed them, we need to constantly keep monitoring our progress, our efforts, to see to it that we are in achievement, or at least the efforts are aligned to achieve the objectives that we have set for ourselves, or that have been set either through policy documents as well as strategic plans. And then at the end of the year, we must come and report against those objectives that we set for ourselves. And that happens normally around with annual reports, where we have the annual performance reports included in there, talking directly and specifically to what we had planned in our APPs and our strategic documents. So if you start throwing documents around this, you'll see that our policy development, that's where you could place our NDP around there, and then we start seeing out of that NDP, we cascade it down to MTSF, then we cascade it down to strategic documents prepared by both departments, entities, and all the public sector roles, and then from there there's a budget that's attached to the achievement of those objectives, and then we monitor them through either quarterly reports that go throughout every quarter, and it can even be monthly. It doesn't really have to be quarterly, depending on how we have placed the risk against each objective that we say. The more the riskier the objective, the more we want to monitor to make sure that all efforts are geared to achieving that. And then we come at year end where we consolidate everything and look at
have a picture of a clear reflection of the efforts of the year against all those objectives. And then I think what we did on this slide was to actually try and bring all these elements that we see affecting what should be sitting in our annual performance plan. And we say the heart of that would be the annual performance plan, which is the document that we'll be interrogating, and which my colleague will take us through the details of what we picked up during that review. And then we say outward of that, that's where your MTSF links. So your APP has to be talking directly to what sits within your MTSF. It needs to talk to the bigger plan, which talks to the NDP that we have, and the NDP was taken in consideration of all this development goals that had been placed, where we say we want to eradicate poverty, we want gender equality, we want clean water and sanitation to be accessible to all, and we want to make sure that life under the water is also sustained, and so forth. So all those development goals embodied nicely in our national development plan, cascaded down to the MTSF, and then the departments have to make sure that they drive through their annual performance plans and their strategic documents the specific areas that fall, the specific objectives that fall within the areas of the spheres of control. Then we always say with these documents that we create, we always create these documents because there's something that is making us uncomfortable about the current status quo. And we always say the reason why we want to say we want to eradicate poverty, for example, it's because the current status quo would either be talking to people who do not have work, and we talk about then that's where we start saying, okay, let's eradicate this poverty. There's always these things that are there, like your infrastructure, which is poorly located or inadequately maintained and so forth, where we say we want to unite South Africa so that we bridge the gap between the divide within the society. We look at all this that we need. There's currently deficiencies within the quality of education that we bring, then that's where we start seeing. So we say in this slide talks to the status quo that made us to sit up and develop all these plans that we say we want to achieve for ourselves. And these are the things that we should always keep at the back of our minds to say, at the end of it all, we want to have moved, to have achieved, or to have dealt with a particular thing that sits currently on this slide. Thanks. I think now when we look at the outcomes within the portfolio that we look at, we'll first start with the ones for the department, the water entity, the trading entity that's within there, and the water research entity. And as we always do it, we always reflect it over a period of about three financial years that we look at it. And you would see that there was a bit of an improvement from the 13-14 period. And in 14-15 there was a bit of an improvement that we picked up, where WTE as well as Water Research Commission moved out of qualification areas into unqualified but still with other matters. And the department was still left, unfortunately, with a qualification. And you'd see that in 15-16, the department moved out of a qualification. However, the water trading entity moved back into a qualification. So they almost like did a direct swap, but Water Research Commission was still unqualified with findings. I think that's the picture at the department, the water trading entity, and the WRC. If you look at the next one, which is the one about the catchment agencies, inclusive of TCTA, you would see that from 13-14, we had all three of them sitting at a clean audit, which is an unqualified with no findings. And then in 14-15, there were two that took a bit of a regression back into an unqualified but with other findings, which was Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority as well as the Brede Management Agency, Catchment Management Agency. And then in 15-16, Brede still remains there. TCTA then moves up again back into a clean audit. So if you start looking at this, I think the reason why we put these colors is to say at a glance, when you start looking at the financial discipline within here, you see that the first ones that we looked at, which were the department, the trading entity, the financial discipline, there still needs a lot of improvements to happen. And that financial discipline is still basically around your financial management, still around your supply chain issues. It's still around your budgets and monitoring of those budgets and etc. And when you look at this one of the catchment management agencies, you see that okay, we're getting there, but we still need to make sure that Brede comes on board and it comes there and they consistently perform it, have these disciplines working effectively and efficiently on a day-to-day basis. And then when we move on to the other one, where we reflect on the water board, you'll see that in 13-14 we had one where there were outstanding audits, which was around Botshelo, I think, which was subsequently dissolved, and it was the activities around there were taken over by your Makhalis, and I think did Sidibeng take a portion of those as well. So when you look at them, you see that okay, around 13-14, you would still have about 50% that's performing the financial disciplines quite well, with unqualified and no findings, and then you have about almost 42% or so that is unqualified but still have findings, and then you have the one that has not submitted, and then that changed in slightly a bit in 14-15, where all submitted, well, because Botshelo was obviously dissolved at the time, and the percentage thereof of the increases within the ones who apply these financial disciplines throughout and consistently increased to 56%. And then the ones that are still getting there, which financially they are unqualified, but they still have concerns around your supply chain, your matters and performance matters, then they still remain there within the yellow. And then in 15-16, then there's quite a number of them that actually moved back, because the financial discipline consistently throughout reduces to 33%. And the bulk of them now sits within where we say they are financially unqualified, but there are issues and concerns around compliance, around predetermined objectives. And there's one that did not submit the financial. So if we look at where the APP really talks to, the APP talks to this yellow area here, where we're saying around the APP, those yellow areas, that's where probably issues of concerns are still there. We still need these entities to tighten up their controls and their management skills around those areas, as well as in those other spheres that we looked at.
And then here on the next one, we outline what this review of the APP, looks at. I think we would see that we are looking at a year that for which performance has not yet been reported. So we are looking mainly at the planning around those, around coming up with those APPs, of those annual performance plans. So we're looking at the process of coming up with the APPs. As we've already said, from our side, what we said we needed to do was, we said, for an APP to exist, there are national policy documents that are there, there are MTSFs that are in place. We need to make sure that the objectives that sit within the APPs come from the policy documents, so that these APPs ultimately are driving what sits within these policy documents that we have. So I think that is mainly the, around the areas that we focus on. And here we're saying, I think with that first bullet where we say this allows, this review that we do, it allows, it allows management to look at whether the APPs which they are about to produce, to solidify and to have them signed, whether the we regard them as measurable and whether we regard them as relevant. And here when we look at relevance, we start looking at the mandate of that department. We look at, does it talk to what sits in the NDP and so forth. And when we look at measurability, we're saying the performance targets and indicators that you have put for yourself, are they some things that someone can come, one, collect information on and be able to report, and to be able to understand, are they easy to understand, so that we don't write them or craft them in a fashion that no one understands what needs to happen after we have those targets placed there. So that is what that first element starts to try address. And then the second one there, that's where we're saying, because there isn't any information that has been reported as yet, we are still at the planning of these APPs. We have not performed a detailed review of saying, one, you have placed a target for yourself. Do you have processes and procedures that will allow you to collect information for that target, be able to report on that target or not? So we haven't gone into that detailed of reviews. So that's why we always term it an APP review, not an APP audit. It becomes an APP audit at the end of the year, at the end of the year, when we actually now measure what the department has reported against those targets. Because at that time we have had the luxury of saying, you have set yourself to achieve 20, you want to eradicate 20 buckets, for example. Do you have the processes to go into eradication of this? Have you done a detailed plan to say, for me to eradicate this, one, I would have to identify where the buckets are, two, I would have to either have processes to put in contractors who should actually go in there and eradicate the buckets. Three, I would have to have, one, the ability to collect the information of how many have already been eradicated, where are they in the process of eradication, and so forth. And then three, ultimately, someone will be able to collect all the information of the ones that we have eradicated and the ones that we have not eradicated and the reasons why we have not gotten to those. So that's the difference, slight difference between what we say when we say an APP audit and an APP review. So at this point in place, we have just looked at the targets that they have put, one, whether they are in line with the National Development Plans, MTSF, whether they included everything that sits within the NDP that relates to their department, so as the MTF, and whether the targets that they have actually
they have crafted, the manner in which they have crafted them, is it easy for us to understand what they are going to be doing? Okay. And I think we also don't review the entire APP in its entirety. We focus on the one where we say this is the core activities, the significant programs that we believe that talk to the core existence of the departments or the entities. Okay. And I think as I've already alluded, we looked at the APPs, we look at the measurability of the indicators and targets, we look at their relevance, and we look at them for only those selected programs that we believe talk to the core of this. And then out of that process, what we normally do where we have findings is those findings, we communicate them to management. Because this process normally happens just before they can actually submit their APPs to portfolio committees to discuss with them. We give them to management so that they can actually ponder on them, think about them, and probably even change those targets and indicators which we have concerns around before they come here. So what we normally do is those findings, we just leave them in the management report. So we normally just communicate them to management, and that's about where they end, because they don't affect the current year audit. The current year audit will be affected by the normal audit on the 16-17 APR that they would have presented, for example, at the end of the year. Okay, so these reviews for 17-18, we put them in the management report for the current year, and that's where it normally ends. In most cases, it happens so close to the dates of submissions to Parliament that we don't even have an opportunity to go back and review how they have actually affected the changes that we have advised on. But we always say, okay, that is management. That's for them to decide on how they affect it and how they take it forward from there. Okay. I think this slide just outlines our considerations when we do this. We ask ourselves, does the APP align to the MTSF? Are the indicators relevant and complete? We look at whether there's a logic between the objectives and the indicators. So if you say, for example, you're going to eradicate 20 buckets, but on your indicator you're not measuring buckets, eradicated buckets, you're measuring something else. So we always check on whether there's logic between those two things, and we look at whether these targets are smart, whether they are specific, whether they are measurable, whether they are time bound, and whether they are relevant. I think that's, and whether they are achievable as well. Okay. And we look at whether we have both the human resource as well as the financial resources to achieve what sits at the APP. That's where we make sure that these things are matched to budget. So I think historically we used to have objectives that which becomes one separate document, and we have a budget which becomes a separate document, but not necessarily talking to each other or being able to filter your budget in line with the objectives that you're driving. Then we also look at the monitoring thereof around these APPs. We check whether performance contracts are aligned to make sure that we drive the right things. If my responsibility is to eradicate
eradicate buckets, for example, I have to have a measure that talks to that performance within my performance contracts and make and so forth. And then we review the quarterly reports against these targets, and then we do the final one where we review the annual achievements against the APP targets at the end of the year, and then we report on this particular things. So we spoke about that we review this for measurability as well as for the relevance of the targets and the indicators. And I think that slide I highlight, when we busy saying relevance of indicators and targets, what exactly are we saying around that? So that's where we just look at whether the mandate of the entity in which is driving this APP is in line with the targets and the indicators that are thereon, whether they are realistic and whether these goals emanate from the bigger documents that we have spoken about. And when we look at its measurability, we look at whether it's well defined, that's where we start saying, is it crafted in such a manner that it will be easy for us to understand it, it will be easy for us to collect information around it and to be able to report on it. Is it verifiable? Are there processes that are in place to make sure that we can be able to collect and report on these particular things? And we also look at whether they are time-bound. Time-bound is to say, when are you going to achieve this target? Is this a quarter one, a quarter two target, or is it an open annual target that needs to be achieved? I think at this point my colleague will take over on the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Now to go into the details specific to the department, we've obviously looked at the NDP that says all South Africans will have affordable access to sufficient safe water and hygienic sanitation. So we've looked at outcome 6, outcome 9, and outcome 10. And basically the 4 that is applicable to the water and sanitation department is the increase in bulk water resources commissioned in comparison to 2014, the increase in percentages of households with access to functional water, and the increase in the percentage of households with access to a functional sanitation. And then the last one is then obviously the compliance of mines with the National Water Act. All of these is then linked either to Program 3, Program 2, or Program 4 of the department. So if I go, and I don't think I'm going to go into the detail, but if you look at Program 2, the key objectives per E&E, there was about 3. The protection of water resources by implementing an integrated water quality management strategy. There was ensure coordinated approach to water and sanitation infrastructure planning. Protect water resources and improve water quality by developing and implementing the integrated water quality management strategy. Okay, so what we've tried to do is we've tried to link all of those with the E&E. So the indicators then within the APP for 17-18 for the department is then those ones where we could see that there is a link with the key objectives of the E&E, and that is why we've said in our comments then we can see that it is somewhere included in the 17-18 APP. So that was for Program 2. For Program 3, there's about 2 key objectives per E&E is ensure that effective and sustainable management of water resources by transferring and monitoring funds to the water trading entity for the design, construction, commissioning, and rehabilitation of bulk raw water infrastructure, including dam safety rehabilitation on an ongoing basis. So there's a number of indicators within the APP 17-18 that talks to that. And then the other one on Program 3 is ensure adequate water availability through water resources, infrastructure development and management, and enhance the provision of sustainable and reliable water supply and sanitation services through the regional bulk infrastructure grant. the water service infrastructure grant and the accelerated community infrastructure sub-programs on a continuous basis. That one is linked to a number of indicators in the APP, so we've listed about five there, and then obviously the comment for us was that we can see that there is a link between the indicators and the objectives. For program four, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 of them, and all of them we could also link them back to an indicator. Create an enabling environment for the economic and social regulation of water, the improve efficiency and effectiveness in delivery of water, and provide dignified sanitation by establishing operationally and financially viable catchment management agencies, ensure the equitable allocation of water resources for social and economic development, by processing 80% of water use authorization applications within 300 days. Strengthen regulation by implementing monitoring programs for drinking water quality, wastewater quality and mine water quality on an ongoing basis. Coordinate and monitor compliance with standards, your license conditions and regulations, and ensure the effective enforcement of compliance with water legislation by monitoring, conducting investigations, and providing legal support. So all 6 of them, we also could then link to some of the indicators within the APP 17-18. So from these slides, there wasn't really objectives in the E&E that we could elude management to say that it's not included in the APP for 17-18. When we did the key findings on the review of the 17-18 APP, like Stephen indicated, it's just a review, so it's quite high level. We found one target that was not specific, and then the technical indicator descriptions were sometimes a little bit confusing, where they would include a short definition or... But the technical indicator description is just to provide further clarity and information on how they're going to report on this. Just a note on that slide is what we've just said. Remember, we only did the APP 17-18 for the department. We didn't look at the water board or all the other section 4-3 because obviously we haven't been part of those audits yet. We're only doing the water boards now from 16-17. Okay, so the one target on program 3 was just regarding the target. There was in appendix 4 it was 55 and they had 52 in the APP, but I've looked at the tabled APP and it was revised to 55. The other one is an example, is that where the technical indicator descriptions is confusing because they are including and saying that how they are going to report on the number of job opportunities created, is they're going to give us the actual number. But then they include this formula. So it was a bit confusing and we said if a user looks at this, what are they going to know? What are you going to report on? I've included the actual management response within our intro management letter where they've tried to explain to say, but this indicator is coordinated by the Department of Public Works, and they actually just want to explain how they are actually getting to their target. So the formula is more used for the target setting than actually reporting on that specific indicator. Now, because the TID is not really the indicator as such, it's just more detail, we've then requested them to say, let's remove it or just move it to another section and say, this is how the target needs to be formulated, just to avoid the confusion for users within the APP. So that was basically the two. There was other findings, but most of them were resolved, and it was more a discussion, and sometimes you don't understand the indicators, but these two were the big ones that was then reflected in the interim management letter to management. The budget analysis, high level, we've just looked at the budget, and we've seen that the administration program was increased by 2%, water planning information management was reduced by 2%, the water infrastructure development reduced by 4%, and then your water sector regulation moved a little bit up, It's 29%, but I mean the amount is not that significant. So that is the budget in an overall big picture. Within the, if you go into detail a little bit, let's go to my notes. 65% of the budget of the department goes to transfers and subsidies. 34% is the remaining budget, which then consists of obviously your salaries, compensation of employees, the goods and services, and then your payment for capital assets. The 65% is 64% of that is then for provincial and municipalities, the 5.1 billion. Now, that is basically your RBIC, your regional bulk infrastructure grant that's sitting there, as well as your water service infrastructure grant, WISIC. Then the red portion, the departmental agency, the 1.5 billion, that's basically for water trading, for the water trading entity. And the other big portion, the 13%, is the public corporation and private enterprises. That money consists also again of RBIC, Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, which is going to four water boards, which is Amatola, Magalies, Umgeni, and Seribeng. Now, as we've indicated, we are still busy with the audit for 16-17, and we have received some requests for investigations currently. So the key matters for noting, like I want to emphasize, we're still busy. So, but what we've picked up in these audits that we're currently doing for 16-17 is the department, and apologies, there's a typing error on your printout, is they moved indirect grants in this current year to direct grants during the year. So the impact of that is actually quite significant if it comes to accounting. Because if you have an indirect grant and it moves to an implementing agent, the department needs to account for the assets, for the commitments, the accruals, everything. But now when they moved it to the direct grant, they wanted to be like a post office. So they just want to transfer the money. And then the department does not show the assets or the commitments or the accruals. So it's just then a transfer out. So we have engaged with National Treasury on this because from an audit point of view, we are concerned. National Treasury indicated they need to go back to their contracts. They need to make sure that what is their contract saying, etc. So for this is one of our significant risks at this stage because we don't know what they are going to do and how they are going to disclose this. Obviously, during the year, the controls were not in place as such like a normal indirect grant. So we don't know if they have the detail to actually take it back and show the assets and the commitments. But somewhere in government, those assets need to lie. So either if they've moved it to the implementing agent, then we need to get confirmation that the asset is actually in their financial statements. But that is what I'm saying, we're still following up on this one. With the implementing agents, the supply chain processes, obviously that's the, if I can call it, the big animal, where they are using water boards and municipalities as implementing agents. Because we are now auditing the water boards, we've requested the water boards and we've done a selection on some of the projects done by water boards. And requested, obviously, it's our auditors that now needs to go and audit those supply chain processes for us so that we can see if it's irregular, did they follow the tender process, etc. The only challenge with the water boards is the year end is different. So the audit timing is also a little bit different, but we are trying to work around it to see that we have done those audits before we finalize our audits within the department. Okay, so we're busy with that. The drought relief expenditure is also in process where we are following it up. We have already engaged with the department to provide us with detail. There's drought relief expenditure both in the water trading as well as in the main account. We might also request formally from the portfolio committee to receive all the reports that they've actually provided to the portfolio committee so that we can understand what they've actually reported on. And then we can then compare with what they are obviously going to provide to us. Then on the water trading entity, the actual expenditure compared to budgets is our focus, obviously, covered during the audit, and with certain deficiencies identified already in the preparation and the monitoring of the budgets. And then the financial performance and position of the water trading entity relating to collating of receivables and bank overdraft remains a concern for the year under review. If I can comment on that first comment, Honourable Chair, you made with the CMAs and those payments being made, depending on what the department decide, but if the money needs to be paid back, obviously it will reflect in the financials as a receivable. So we will also, we've already put it on our radar, so we'll also follow up to see what the department do with that as well. But it depends on the decision they're going to take. And then, like we've also said last year, we have now, with our new methodology, selected 10 projects, 5 from the water trading and 5 from the main account. We're getting, they are telling us we're doing now a performance audit on these projects, but we're not. We're just following the money, and we are looking at, is there value for money? On 3 of those 10 projects, we have now engaged and water engineers as part of our audits, where they are focusing and they need to come back with an engineer report on the value that was received. And if the asset that they've paid for is actually there. So we are also, their deadline is also end of June, so they need to give us that engineer report also so that we can include it then as part of our audit when we're done. So when we come to report in the BRRR by the end of the year, we will then have a slide for each project that we will show the portfolio committee, and that will engage from when they did the budgets and the planning of those projects, how it reflects in the financials, how was the tender processes and the supply chain processes done, and at the end, how does it affect the indicators or objectives. Okay. And then obviously, like I said, we're now doing the water boards and we're auditing them. Yesterday we had a big session with all the auditors on water boards to ensure that we're consistent. We're looking at all the risks on the water boards. They are complaining a little bit when the AG took them over, but we are managing that as well. And yeah, that's basically what we wanted to say. The only thing that I just want to comment on, like Stephen said, is because of these 10 projects, this is evidence of our new, we call it improved audit methodology. We really want to deliver a valuable and relevant product. We don't want to come here and then you tell us, you know already what we've already telling you. So we want to be valuable and relevant. We want to focus on the things that matter. And I think that's also why we have those 10 projects. We're also doing a more integrated audit, so if we need ESO auditors, if we need the water engineers, we bring them into our audit teams. We're refining the scope and the risk assessment of our responses. A management report that is more simplified, because we also get a lot of information where people don't understand our reporting, so we try and make it still within the auditing standards, but that people can understand what we are actually trying to say. So that is the improved audit methodology that we are auditing or using this year for the 16-17 financial year. And then just quickly, as part of that also, is we're also looking more on...
I had thought you would also, as you talk about having met with some of these auditors that have been doing some work for the water boards, I thought you'd also do a quick delineation between what they do in the private sector and what you do, so that there is a better understanding from here. In other words, the difference between what your private sector auditor does and what you do as a public sector audit firm.
Yes, Honourable Chair, I think that is the key. all the auditors that are now auditing water boards is now AGSA. So if we do use audit firms to assist us, they form part of our audit, and they need to use our, we're using our audit methodology on all the water boards. And obviously that is now more, we're dealing, or we're more focused on supply chain, more focused on PDO, where your audit firms not necessarily always look at that detail that we as the AGSA are looking at. That's why I also commented to say the water boards is a bit... Yeah, let's call it relaxant when we now come in, because we're looking at more things. Our audit fees are increasing, they're complaining, and they don't understand why. But when we start telling them, but look, our methodology is different, we really look at much more detail. That's why I don't know if we look go back to that picture of the audit outcomes of water boards. It will be interesting to see how that picture is going to change now with us auditing the water boards. So, yeah. And this is my last slide, just quickly, is we're also focusing on having better engaging conversations with the accounting officers to be a bit more proactive. Now, the challenge always with that is if you go with, to an accounting officer and you say, I'm going to qualify you if you don't do this, they start saying, yeah, but now we're biased and we already made up our mind. But to just get that balance right and telling them that if we pick up really some issues of concerns, of areas of concerns, that we deal with it in a way so that they already can be proactively looking at it so that it does not end up at the end of the day in a qualification. And that is it from us. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think just to add on what my colleague has referred to around the differences between the audit by the AGSA as well as the audit by the...
You'll be a bit quicker because we still have other things to do.
Okay, yeah. I think when you look at the... I think which was some of the engagements that we had with these private firms is around the manner in which they are appointed. I think they are appointed through a normal tender process, and them being appointed through a normal tender process is different from us as Auditor General coming in because we come there mandated to be there. So for them, they say they can actually choose between SAB and T and EY, for example, as an example. And the second one is they come there with a quotation that they normally do, and for them to be able, which comes within the budget aspect, for them when they present those quotes, they try to quote as low as possible, which kind of like limits them at the end of that. And I think the other thing that happens is the manner in which we set materialities becomes different between the different firms. At Office of the Auditor General, we always take a conservative approach, and we always lower a bit our materiality, which they always come at a bit of a higher role. The other thing is the ability to actually start requesting this appropriate expertise within that audit. As my colleague has already alluded to the fact that for us, we are able to stand up and say, guys, here on this project, we're going to need a water engineer expert, and we are able to start having those engagements without being bullied to say we will replace you with an EY or with an SABNT and so forth. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, I hope and trust that assists us in pursuance of both what we are about to deal with and also for our own debates and going forward, especially also when we are to deal with the quarterly reports. This gives us a clearer picture as to how we're going to manage what shall have been targeted for. If there are any specific issues, listening to the submission itself, ideally this is a submission that would otherwise have been making a lot more sense if we were to be tying it up with the department coming before us almost at the same time, when the department shall be expected to, which was last week, expected to brief us on their annual plans and their budget. If this was to be dealt with almost immediately at the same time, I would imagine it would have made a lot more sense. Be that as it may, we are here now. I saw two hands up, Mrs. Baker and Mr. Person.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, with regards to the reporting format now for the Water Board, we will now have one standardized reporting format, I'm assuming. So that, because that's a problem that we've had previously, is that each Water Board, well, naturally, like you say, they use different companies. So the information contained in their reports was different. So now I'm assuming it will all be standard. And we'll see the same things. Right, that's absolutely perfect. And then with these key matters for noting, would you give us feedback on that in due course, or will that only be at the end of the year when you, on some of the last, for example, the drought relief expenditure, the investigation that's in process, will we have to wait for that or with the till the end of the year, or will you give it to us as it's finalized? And then, you know, on page 28, this is a concern that, and we raised it last week as well, with the 64% of the budget going to the provinces and the municipalities. The concern we have there is that when we query the expenditure and the oversight role that the department plays over those monies that are allocated, they just sit there and as the minister says, literally throwing their hands up in the air, saying, well, once you pay the money over, there's nothing we can do. We have no control over it. Is that really, how do we hold them accountable for that money? We cannot just sit back and throw our hands up and say, once we pay it over, it's out of our hands. And the same thing goes to the projects that the Water Boards are implementing as the implementing agents. It cannot be, there's that breakdown, there's that gap. So I'm very keen to see when we get that report from the AG about that gap. What are we going to do about that gap between identifying the implementing agents, paying the money over, and holding them accountable for that expenditure? Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Button.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm a little bit concerned about the way the AG deals with it. They look at programs. Please help me whether I'm wrong. You measure whether they have met the program. But if we look at what happens within that program, you will find that, yes, they have assigned a specific program and one of the water boards are implementing agent or contractors are on site. But then at the end of the day, we find out that although they've started with projects, they don't have funds to pay that in that financial year. And that's where we sit with the situation, and I need some explanation on this. Chair, we talk about the main account and the water trading entities account. Now, the department wants to tell us, and I want you to clarify that on us, although it's within the department, it's two different accounts. But it could never be two different accounts if it's under one DG. It's within one entity. Now they would say, but yeah, the water trading entity is in an overdraft of 2.9 billion with the Reserve Bank. And that's got nothing to do with water and sanitation, the main account. Which can never be true, Chairperson, because eventually, unless I'm wrong, they are still responsible. You're not auditing the water trading entity on its own. It's not an entity on its own. So it boils back to one situation, Chair, that's why we see the water infrastructure development. where it's the key problem in a country at the moment is our infrastructure that is not in a good state. It's not in, the budget's not increasing, it's decreasing. And Chair, we don't see the whole picture here. They are $5 billion, $4.9 billion they could not pay at the end of March out of their budget. So if it's going to be paid in this year, their budget will decrease. It means we've got a knock-on effect that although it's on a program, they cannot. I want to give you an example. The Noikadag scheme, the minister is appointed. We asked a question to the chairperson of the Noikadag of Amatola Water. Have you appointed a contractor? He said yes. He's got the minister is appointed, Amatola as the implementing agent. He's got a directive. My question was, do you have the money for that project? He said, well, if I've got the letter, I must have the money. And then the DG said, yeah, the money is available. And then Mr. Singh had to come in and say, no, the money is not available. The source is still unknown. Then I asked a written question. And then the minister answered to say that only 92%, only 92 million of the 300 is being budgeted for, only budgeted for in this financial year, the 2017-18 financial year. But 60%, and it's an 18-month project, but 60% of the money that's going to be needed on this project will be spent in the first 12 months. That means, Jefferson, they will work 6 months. They will stop. They will have to wait for the balance of the money in the new financial year because the budget is not linked to the project. And then escalations comes in. And then this 312 million project ends up 400 million rand. So, Chair, that is one of my concerns. And, Chair, I want to find out whether there's any explanation. I've got my own opinion, but with the AG, why is DG, Department of Water and Sanitation, regressing? You've managed management. There's management problems within the department. That we heard last year as well. In your report last year and the previous year, we were told there is a lack of management within the department. Now, I know that you can just show that out. You can do nothing about it. But, Chair, if this is a continuous problem and next year in the new statement, if they come up with exactly the same, there's a management problem within the department. That's why this department is not delivering services. We're struggling with a bucket eradication program. This committee said that we agree. It's one of the questions, Jefferson, I've asked that the minister couldn't answer and neither the department. We as a committee agreed we support the department to ask National Treasury a further 500 million in the previous financial year. To finalize, that's the final money they need to finalize the bucket eradication program. Now the question is, what happened to that? Did they get it? They couldn't answer us on that yet. So if it falls over to this financial year, the crisis becomes bigger. And then lastly, the water trading entity, they struggle to collect money that's been owed to them. Now they went to a situation where they get someone to collect it on their behalf, which they pay commission. Now I'm asking the AG to investigate that. Isn't that fruitless expenditure? Who has approved? Have they budgeted for that in the trading entity to pay commission? That's ratepayers' money to an outside company. Whilst they could have utilized the intergovernmental relations mechanism to collect the money from whether it's water boards or whether it's the municipalities. They go out and commission and pay 10% commission on money that's been owed. It's a huge amount of money. Chair, if I can get on those questions answer, I would appreciate.
Mr. Choke, noted, Mr. Ngunu, and welcome. We did get your apology. Maybe another apology, just as we are dealing with those quickly. Mrs. Kaula also had indicated that, unfortunately, she won't attend today's session. So those are the two apologies I forgot to deal with. Sorry about that.
No, Chair. Maybe really not to ask a lot of questions will be to allow the AG to speak on issues raised by Honorable Baswan, because you know, since I joined this portfolio committee, there's been these issues, and we met with the department. I don't hear anything coming in response. I mean, at some point we dealt with, does this department have money? And at some point we're told, yes, it has money, but outside again, it does not have money. So I think maybe if we can respond to the issues, and let's hear how far can the AG go in regards to issues raised in your audit, the work that you have been doing. And it goes back to the point that the chair was raising earlier. Normally, it was going to be quite a very good exercise that we meet in the morning before we meet with the department. Fresh from the meeting with the AG, then we go to the department and then deal with the issues. That has been easy practice, by the way. I think in the next round, Chair, when we had to deal with this exercise again, it had to be done in that arrangement because it gives you more, you know, chance. But again, the AG is able to highlight critical areas for the attention of the committee. And I pick up here that you're going very general, in fact. You're not pinning down into, in fact, these are the concerns that we have picked up rather than the two issues that we've raised. So it's not much of assistance. It's AG itself cannot take Parliament in confidence, you know, to say these are the areas that we have raised and these are areas that we believe are red flags for us moving forward. Now, I think maybe we may want to get you to speak on those areas. But I think points that are raised by Honorable Baswan, for me, they've been a concern, both in the public domain. I mean, we have been dealing with issues of mismanagement and what newspapers have been writing things and all of that. But when we come to the level where we engage, no one takes, you know, accountability on these issues as we see them coming out. Maybe it will help us, the points raised from there. I think we can then build from that angle. I'm happy, Chair, that the water boards now are complying. They're now going to be audited within the Auditor General. I think it's a good day, watchful. But can you just confirm, is it all of them or is it only few of them that have identified? I'm not sure. But again, why with water boards, why you don't do performance audit, where you go deeper, look at the project and say, does this project worth the amount spent? Because that's, we're now dealing with a service delivery, but a value for money, where you say in Nandoni we spend a 3 billion rand by now on whatever project. Does it value the money that went for that project? Is it valued? You know, and performance audit for me becomes quite very key when it comes to projects. And why would the AG not want to go into performance audit, which will make it easy? Because that's how you begin to eliminate the issues of mismanagement, corruption, and all of these other things. And then we can then have, you know, infrastructure that is valued and sustainable for many years to come, rather than inferior services that you'll get in the name of a quick service delivery. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mguna.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I would just want to reiterate, I think the questions have been asked. You just took everything from my mouth, a whip. Maybe that's why you are a whip. AG, you are the eyes and ears. You see, there are places where we cannot get in, technical places. you are the eyes and ears of the committee. Is there any possibility where you can be straightforward with all the entities? You see, and you're straightforward, short to the point. You don't write an essay. You write a straightforward answer. This has not been done, 1, 2, 3. Because now while we're living with issues, they ask us outside there. And remember, we're not always with the department in their offices. We are here and dealing with many, many issues. So that when they ask, you say, no, we sent our own entity, another entity, the AG, that went and verify what you are asking. And this is what we got from them as our eyes and ears, which we confirm as this. Because, you know, when you are a culprit, the person when we ask you, did you do this, what will the culprit say? No. Then who do we trust? You. You come here with essays. We don't understand the essay. You understand? Then we have to figure out from the essay. We don't have to figure out. We must know this is right or this is wrong, black or white, not a grayish. You understand? It must be gray. I'm happy that you are saying you are auditing all the entities. You remember one time when we asked you, we are the one, this committee was the one who said, no. We are not happy when you are auditing only the department. Go to the water boards, because water boards were having their own auditors. You understand? And sometimes you will find one and they say, it's like copy and paste. Copy and paste. Nah, this one, we don't really. Why can't you do it? And I'm happy that you're saying. But my challenge for even this time, you did not audit all the water boards. So tell us, are you sampling? Are you sampling? And what are the strategies for sampling, if you are sampling? Are you looking for those that are doing badly? And you understand? So we always want the strategy. So that next time when you come and see, you only audit Ikomati, we'll say, no, we have a problem here. You understand? We must tell us what characteristics are you using when you're sampling. Normally, you said in one of your undertaking, we cannot audit all of them. That's what you said to us. You understand? Tell us what are your characteristics of sampling, of doing the sampling. Are you able to find all the assets of the department and audit them? And you tell us, hey, this department has got these assets. Two, are you able to audit from the first cent to the last cent of the department, the finances? Where did it go? If you are able to do that, are you able to get that? Are there any entities that you are not aware of as a department, as a portfolio committee? We remember we're here for 5 years, AG. And for 5 years, we may not know the whole department. We started long time before 1945. We cannot know everything. You tell us that these are the assets that have been there from this date to this date, and this one just went away. We don't know. You understand? You tell us. Even if you have just come, Nino, you must be having that ability to check. And you must tell us, if you are able, you tell us about. There are other companies that we don't even know as a portfolio committee. I want you, there's a construction unit that is there. We don't know about that, but it's also under the department. Are you able to pick out those things? Say, hey, check there. There's another construction that we don't know about there that is going around spending money, because the money is right from the department. It goes to the construction unit, which you don't audit. We don't know about it. It does not come in there. But you tell us about finance. Finances are gone. Where did they go? Infrastructure. Which infrastructure? Yeah, you see, to tell us, you see, you must be exact when you are talking to us. Isn't it your eyes, your eyes and ears? Yeah. And also... I must tell them now, you see. We're about to get them. We must tell them so that we are able to know these things, you see. You know, to hide behind. These things catch up with us. They ask us, we don't know. And you know, it's very embarrassing, Chief Whip, and we go to a certain entity. Sometimes you are not giving access
because you'll be told that we don't know you. They don't know you, a chair. They don't know a whip. They don't know me. They don't even respect the members of parliament because we don't know them. They don't know us. Then why will they give you access? And the last, do you have ability? Okay, I think I did say that. And then, are you only relying on the APP like us when you are monitoring the department, or you go even further than the APP? You see. I think you understand what I'm trying to be saying. The department has given us this annual performance plan. Now you say, did you perform this? And then, yeah, it's a tick. Yeah, you did it. Oh, no, you went less. And then it's a normal thing. Even a child can do that. You understand? We want you to go beyond this, the APP, and tell us, hey, be careful of this. This is coming. Isn't it the portfolio committee? The portfolio committee is a monitor, is an oversight board that must make sure that we know everything. When people come here, we're not in a debate here. That is why you won't find us debating issues here. Everyone speaks his own opinion based on what the constituencies are saying. You understand what I'm trying to be saying, AG? Let me stop there. Yeah, talk the truth and hold truth, but nothing else but the truth.
You see the issue, AG's office of assets is a very big issue, to a point where perhaps this could be a matter for the department to respond to about their productivity. Not just having to say you have assets. The department, out of those dams, receives or charges tariffs as and when there is any transaction, as and when it sells water. There are those tariffs. As to what happens to those tariffs, are they ring-fenced somewhere? Are they just, split all over the show? As you do your own audit, where do you locate these tariffs? This is supposed to be your receivables. On the other hand, you have an organization called TCTA that is involved in the actual construction of those assets. They raise money out there in the capital markets. They take guarantees from National Treasury, and they construct on behalf of the department. Upon completion, those assets are handed over to the department. But whether do they feature in the department's balance sheet? Each individual asset? No, I'm talking about the respective. I know TCTA is audited on its own. I'm talking about the respective assets. We had, from day one we started here, requested an audit of our infrastructure. And we never got to see light of that audit. But for me, it is supposed to be responding to this question about the productiveness of these assets. And where do you locate those receivables? Whether in the books of the department or the trading entity, to a point where you are to say at the end, or rather ask a question at the end, precisely because these assets are never used as a leverage for you to raise more capital out there, if you like. As a department goes out, either on a new project, I would have imagined if the department was serious enough, these assets would have been made use of in any balance sheet of any entity within which you are then to leverage and be able to borrow against, even at a cheaper rate for that matter, instead of the guarantees that we normally have, which may not even be necessary. I don't know if I'm making sense on the specific one. The last point I wanted to raise on your behalf, members, as members of Parliament, we get to be involved in all sorts of activities. Of course, I never got to hear of any specific name per se, but I thought, you know, let me just throw it here. This office, they get confused when they receive requests for investigations, as they would be busy attempting on this, another request would be coming, you know, from another person, another request on the same subject matter, another request on a different matter, to a point where they get so confused when they talk to us. They are probably shy to raise those issues now. The word I got from them was that if matters of this nature could be coordinated and be channeled through my office, where as and when such investigations, so that it gets to be a committee assignment, if you like, that as this committee we would really wish to get assistance from you, Office of the Auditor General, to investigate A, B, C, D. They also do mention that there are other investigation state institutions that are equally involved. But the dilemma that they also find themselves in that same process, that they are auditing, whilst at the same time they shall then be expected also to investigate as an investigative unit. They are caught also in that dilemma, which is which makes their lives difficult. I don't know whether I spoke adequately on your behalf. That's what they are going through, which they actually requested me if I would table this, you know, to the committee. Okay.
Just before they respond, I just want to clarify one thing. I just want to read something that was in a written reply by the minister that we received 3 weeks ago. The reply was, I asked whether the department is in financial difficulties. And then a reply was as follows: my department's main account is not experiencing financial difficulties. However, the water trading entity is experiencing temporary cash flow problems due to non-payment of municipalities and water boards. However, the water trading entity is in a very strong financial position with assets exceeding liabilities with 72 billion. Now, Che, if you want to tell me that, the assets, the water trading entity's got assets, which falls within the department. Can't sell me a dam, please. Let's see whether you can get funds for that. So, you know, using that example, although we've got difficulties, we've got a cash flow difficulty, but we've got assets. The assets doesn't belong to the department, it belongs to the Republic of South Africa. It's managed by a department. They can't sell it. Can't sell the work dam or which whatever you want to what dam you use. See, and then there's another concern that which I need clarity on is they explained to me that in this letter they explained to me that they've got left on their budget as on the 22nd of February. They had 1.9 billion left, of which 558 million was in a positive balance in the bank, and 1.1 billion they've left with National Treasury. That gives me 1.6 billion. But just in the previous paragraph, they tell me they've got 1.9 billion, which they're going to pay 238 million for salaries. They're going to pay 712 million to municipalities. And then the other normal course of business amount to 958. Now, Che, if you tell me here, I've only got 1.6 billion available till the end of March, but I'm going to pay out 1.9 billion before the end of March, where does the other money come from? Do they have an overdraft? That they don't tell us about? And maybe they could also answer on that, Che.
We still have a budget report to deal with. Whatever we do, let's also have that at the back of our minds. Okay.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Members. I think we've received a tough number of questions here. Let me try my level best to try attempt to summon my colleague will assist me with others. I think on the programs, Honourable Basson, where we always refer to main account and water trading entity. I think the main account is purely the department. They are the ones who receive the E&E allocations. Okay, and then the water trading entity, it's the trading, it is what was initially the trading account within the department. Excuse me. So these two, let me call them entities, are actually prepared separate financial statements. So there's financial statements for the department, which is mostly on the modified cash standards that they prepare, because they have to account for the allocation that they received, how they spend against it. And then there's the water trading entity that now accounts for, because it's responsible for the sale of water and the construction of the dams and so forth. So they account on how much they collected from the sale of water and how much they have actually spent through construction, either to refurbish or to plow back some of that money into infrastructure development. So water trading entity came about because you'd remember that in the olden days, the department used to be one thing with one set of financials, but there used to be accounts within the department. There used to be a construction account, and then there used to be the one that sells water that was called the trading account. So what happened was they combined the trading account together with the construction account, and that's where the trading entity came into life. So there, if you look at it, the responsibilities of that trading account is one, to sell water, and two, to construct and develop other new infrastructure or to maintain or refurbish the existing infrastructure that happens. So that account, that entity prepares its financial statements on GRAP. So it's different sets of financial statements in different accounting frameworks. Okay, because ideally on the trading account you would want to know whether on their own, because this will probably tie back with what the chairperson was asking around tariffs, because the dams, the infrastructure and everything, they sit in the balance sheet of the trading entity. Okay, now the trading entity then uses those dams to sell water. Okay, and then they bill it on the tariffs. So when they sell it to you, it's on that approved tariff that they do, and they collect that money.
So that money is collected by the trading entity, and that money is supposed to be now used for one continuous refurbishment and maintenance of the infrastructure, and it must also assist in the development of new infrastructure. Okay. The other element of money that comes into the development of new infrastructure is the transfer that comes from the department to the entity, because that is specific for new infrastructure development. Okay, and then so they prepare two separate financials on different accounting frameworks, and when they report, they have to report out of the two. So that's probably where the reason, the answer where they say the main account has got a financial positive bank balance, but the trading account has got a negative bank balance. I think that's where they are coming when they are explaining. But they all, both of them, they fall within the responsibility, and the DG, one DG is accountable for both these entities.
So we audit the two.
So my colleague on the other side audits the department, and then I audit the trading entity, the one with the big assets and the one that's making lots of losses as we currently are. That's an overdraft as we currently speak. And maybe if I can reflect just a little bit around what we picked up in our audit around why they are sitting in the current financial status is, one, when they did their budget, there was an assumption that was done in that budget, and that assumption was they were going to be able to collect historic debt. So historic debt from all these guys who have not been able to pay them, they had made an assumption that they would put efforts in place to recover that historic debt. It was about 2.6 billion that they had budgeted to receive and then to be able to plow back within its operations. Okay?
How old is that debt?
I think others were going as...
The oldest one.
The 2 billion was about it goes to 3 years back. Okay? And then what we also then picked still within the budget areas was, because they have these two entities within themselves, sometimes when they budget for a project, they budget for it from one entity, and then the other one either complements that budget or adds a bit of its contribution towards that project, and then that project runs with funds from both the department as well as from the entity. So there's one specific project where it used to be on the water trading entity, but the water trading entity said, this project is not really on infrastructure development that we will be using as the trading entity. It's more the one that's going to be ultimately transferred to a municipality, and that should fall within the ambit of budget by the department. So I think in their communication, they didn't follow it through. So it wasn't budgeted in either the department as well as in the water trading entity. However, the spending thereon, on that project, still continued. Okay.
But for purpose of the financial accountability, is that not abnormal to operate accounts in that fashion? I mean, where does the planning then comes in, and the allocation, where does it comes in? If you identify a project in your APP, say, this is a project that we're going to be running this year, and its funding, it's going to derive this funding from assumption. That's really out of order. And secondly, proper allocation for a project. You can't say we'll take from here and take from there. How, therefore, do you account at the end when you have to deal with accounting? Maybe those clarities are important, because it goes back to the point that, you see, I was failing to understand Honorable Baswan, but today I'm now beginning to see the angle in which it's coming in. There's abnormality that is running somewhere, and we have to pin it down open to say the problem, in fact, is the following, you know, and this is what the AG will have picked up, you know, because it then begins to make sense now that day. Why does this overdraft, there's this a reserve bank that is owed money and all of those things. Maybe, Chair, when we deal with the financials, that's another part that would want to elaborate further and get more clarity around that area. But AG must be able to pick up these issues. AG must be able to pick up. I know that you operate on samples that you identify, but this has been a problem for quite some time. And I think you'll have pick up that and really go deeper into auditing so that there's a clear... The committee has pushed that your water boards and all of that must be within, you know. And it's an achievement. We've managed to push through. I remember the first meeting that I attended of this portfolio committee, there's been around those issues. Remember the hotel there by what you call there. And today we can, you know, proudly say that water boards are now going to be what you call. Here's an area that has really been in the committee for some time, and the department cannot explain this thing. The department cannot explain it.
Chair, can I also just ask, I'm also still confused. I have never seen a water trading entity audited statement. Is it taken, I'm just asking, I've asked my colleagues here as well, and I apologize if I'm wrong. Is this statement taken up in the departments, or is it separate? No, but it's in within the departments. But then I come back to that, Chairperson. It's not an entity like Rand Water, and that's the question that I'm trying to get clarity from you is, although you audit it separately, it's binded in with the department's annual reports. It's not like a water board or TCTA that's been separate. So, Chair, I come back to my point to say is, it still falls within the Department of Water and Sanitation, within the main account, within the audit of Department of Water and Sanitation. It's not like TCTA where we get separate audit reports and the water boards. And that's what's making it so difficult for us, because the department is not honest with us. Now we understand that the CFO of the Water Train Indy has been suspended. But I still need clarity on the other questions which I've asked on the commission and whether that's, you know, been budgeted for but all the other questions as well. I understand it now, because I was then confused whether you have a separate audit report that we haven't seen. I know because we understood it falls with one entity, and eventually the DG takes responsibility whether there is a subdivision like the construction unit within the department. You know, if they are audited, it's all under one audit report.
Sorry, I think I understand what you're trying to say, because it's still under the there's only one DG, one accounting officer, but there's two audit reports. So if you will look at the annual report, I have an audit report that's on the main account, and he will have a separate audit report that's on the trading account, trading entity. And that both of those audit reports is binded into the overall annual report.
So who takes the final responsibility of that account? And that CFO? Not the CFO of the main account. So, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I think the structure, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, is there's one DG, and then there's two CFOs, and then at a DDG level. So the one CFO is responsible for accounting for
the department. And then
I thought you had dealt with this last week.
The other.
Because part of the brief that I signed was for the department to come before us, also with that organogram. Okay, let's just allow quickly just to wrap up, and then we move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. So I think that probably would assist in bringing light to these two different entities within the control of one DG. And I think the construction unit falls within the water trading entity. Yeah. The construction unit falls within the water trading entity. Because remember, the water trading entity took account of all the infrastructure assets.
We're wrapping up.
Yes, sir. Because it took all
you must demonstrate that wrapping up.
Oh, okay.
You mustn't just allow and like nod on it. Demonstrate it in action.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So yes, it falls within that. And I think the other element that Honorable Bosson, you had highlighted, was the commission on the guys who are collecting this thing. But maybe let me link it immediately together with what our Honorable Chief was asking too, where he was saying, is it allowed that you can actually, does it make financial sense to budget on money that you're still going to receive? It makes sense for you to budget on it, provided that you have put in place measures that you are comfortable that they will be able to actually collect that money. That's one. And then two, you have put in processes, you have put in place processes to monitor whether you are in, the money is actually tickling back to you. Because the moment it doesn't tickle back, then you have to go back and revisit your budget, either start adjusting the activities below your income line, which becomes your expenditure. I think around this collection of that revenue, I think it's something that I would really have to consider, maybe by also involving some guys from performance audit, just to look at the value for money benefit that they are receiving on collecting this money through the agency and not through their own interdepartmental arrangements. Because I think there is this challenge, I think, which it's not only within the department or the entity, which like your ESCOMs, how they were experiencing it, but I think the approach in which probably we are taking in collecting that money might be different, and others might attract additional money, as in the commission. So it's something that we can always look into and look at, trying to assess the value for money that one would have got with what is it that they are doing special over and above what would have been entailed within an interdepartmental collection process, if I can put it that way, so that we can at least close that gap nicely for you. I think on the additional funds for the bucket eradication, the 500 million that you mentioned, whether they have received it or not, it's something that we can follow through with my colleague, unless if you already have a feedback. I think Honorable Mguni, you mentioned a lot of things that we are the eyes and the ears of the committee, which is very true, and we have that luxury of interrogating more of the information than what is presented on the APP. So we don't just look at the APP and look at what they say they have achieved. We actually go in and try and look at supporting evidence to see what they have actually achieved can be supported, and that now with us bringing on the experts, it's actually to say we want even our expert to go down there when they say we have constructed this pipeline and it's complete, so that our expert can actually tell us, oh, this is what these guys had intended to do, and here lies the pipe. It is operating as efficient and as effective as they are. So we are gearing up to actually trying to say we need to go, because of the technical nature of this
assets that they construct. Some of them, we ourselves as auditors, won't have that luxury of knowing, but we have that luxury of bringing in an expert who can accompany us to come and tell us if they say we are going to create a weir or develop a weir. Indeed, at the end of that project, they have created a weir that does exactly what they had planned to that asset would cater for.
Thanks for that. Obviously, there's a lot of work that we still need to do. There are more questions that have since arisen than answers. And clearly, if we had a department, a senior official or officials here, it would have been made our lives would have been made a lot easier. We are in this situation. Obviously, these are some of the questions that we'll have to note. Madia is taking notes, which are going to be forming part of our minutes. So we shall then have to go back to those issues that we've... These are very critical issues. They talk to a number of issues. Among others, what do these assets do? You want to respond to that quick one?
Yeah, just a quick one, particularly around the TCTA, because you mentioned assets that TCTA constructs. The assets that TCTA constructs actually sit on the balance sheet of water trading entity because they do it on behalf of the trading entity. So it's like their construction part. It's like an extension of the construction unit that I've just mentioned there. And those assets, Chair, when we followed up, the department itself or the trading entity itself and TCTA cannot use to encumb a loan because they are used at a national level by National Treasury. So when National Treasury is to even issue out, I think, these guarantees, they look at the asset base of the entire government, and they're seated within those are those infrastructure assets that sit on the balance sheet of the entity.
Does it make sense?
I think it makes a little bit of sense because on themselves, you would realize that these assets don't sit on the balance sheet of TCTA, which has a mandate of going out to source funds. They sit on a balance sheet of a trading entity which does not have a financing responsibility. However, if you bring them together, if you consolidate them, which is what Treasury does when they do the consolidated balance sheet, when you consolidate them, these assets are all of them become state assets, and as the person on the overall custodian on the state assets, who becomes National Treasury, is then the one who uses these assets to encumber them against any form of finance that they receive.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure those would be subjects for some other day as to how do we deal, because to me it doesn't make sense, frankly speaking. I hear you saying it does make some little sense. I mean, if you were to be practically looking at financing of any of your projects, looking at what TCTA's model gets to be, it gets to be more of a project finance, precisely because of what they do out in the capital markets. For them to be able then to make use of guarantees, consolidated or otherwise, by National Treasury, why don't you just lump all of those assets under one entity? In this case, you have your TCTA. But those are subjects for some other day.
But maybe the point that the chair is raising is a point that needs further engagement, and we'll have missed that opportunity last week as it was supposed to have been in the program, Chair. It has been an oversight that we have not dealt with the issue of the budget. Maybe the discussion will have to start from that level. But again, a TCTA, what is it? Yeah, is an entity, is a department itself, it's not even an entity that has
ability to raise money outside.
Okay.
Yes, you know. So I'm saying that, Chair, maybe we may want to further have, because we can make a decision. The committee has, you know, can make a recommendation around that particular area. It does not mean that it is only when Treasury therefore, you know, sort of a permit. But a committee can begin a process of looking into, especially this water agency that we're trying to build now. Those assets, if they fall under that water agency, then becomes assets that the water agency can go and raise capital around using those assets. I think the discussion that we still have to have. But maybe, Chair, you need to talk to the point that we have missed last week, as we were saying that we're not able to deal with it. What then happened? If we have not dealt with it last week, what then happened? Are we still going to have an opportunity as a committee to look at that budget detail before we sort of do the final adoption? And I'm not sure, maybe you can advise, Chair.
Mr. Mguni will assist us on that one.
No, not really on that one, Chairperson. I know the Chairperson wants to put me on a one-way. But the Chairperson, I would like to recommend that at least in the department, one day they come and tell us about this water trading entity. You know how this trade, it was established around 1983, this water entity. It was that time called something like a water and equipment trading account, if it was established. Then after the enacting of the Act, the National Water Act, it then became water trading. You understand? There there are clauses which are saying the water trading entity must be sustainable, must be able to have to collect its own revenue, must have money. I don't know why now the department has to come in. They've got something to do to construct, and the department must take money because they must be sustainable themselves. If they can just explain to us so that we don't get that confusion. Water trading here, which under it there are construction units, and there are so many people, many subcommittees that are in there, and which we do not know about. At the end of the day, the department becomes responsible, because when everything wrong happens, the department has done, and we don't hear anything about water trading entity any longer. You see, it looks like they're non-existing. So if maybe we can recommend that they come and explain on us on that one, including what Honorable Chauke might be saying. We cannot finish everything today. If we say they can explain what he has just explained, thank you very much. I wanted to get into that, but I think time does not permit. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's thank the...
Can I just get clarity on the main account? Could they explain to us how the main account works, whether they can have an overdraft? Because if I read it correctly, the main account lies with National Treasury. So how do they... that's what they say in their letter. That's why I'm asking the question, can you explain the main account to us and whether there is an overdraft and whether it's with a commercial bank or also with a reserve bank?
If you can also maybe just dwell on the Reserve Bank overdraft as well.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We haven't received the draft financial statements yet, but what I've heard is that there is an overdraft, so that means it will be unauthorized within their financial statements, and that's with National Treasury, obviously, if that answers your question. But I haven't confirmed it, so please... I haven't seen the financial statements yet, but that was what was told, that they have spent 101% of their budget. And then on the budget eradication, we know that there was also money spent, so that is part of that overdraft, was on the budget eradication.
Chair, sorry, I've got to deal with on this. If you please allow me, I won't speak on the next items. Chair, how do they fund that? How do they fund that overdraft? Out of the next year's budget, that means that next year, or this next financial year, we will see what we've seen now here. There's 500 million less for infrastructure because it goes towards the overdraft of the previous year. So National Treasury would play it off what you owe them. So although you've got this huge budget, you don't have the money to go on with projects. And then, Chair, the problem is that projects have already been allocated, contractors are already on site. and they don't have the money because National Treasury withholds this money because that was money they owed in the previous year. That's why I couldn't understand. They say they're going to spend 1.9 billion, but they've only got 1.6 billion. That's for March. That's only for March. They're going to spend 1.9 billion, but they've only got 1.6 billion available with National Treasury. But they indicate how much they're going to spend 1.9. And so then the last question on this, and I want to understand this. I'm back to the water trading entity. I want to ask you, I'm going to use an example. If I am married to my wife within community of property, and I am now, my wife is the water trading entity, and I don't know why I would say she's a water trading entity, but let's say she is, and I'm the main account because I'm the head of the household. So if we look at the water trading entity is owing the Reserve Bank 2.9 billion. That's the only amount we know of, because they could also owe other entities, they could also owe contractors money. So we only know about the overdraft of 2.9 billion to the Reserve Bank. But myself, I work with National Treasury's money. If I've looked, I've got to look at the combined. Let's say I don't owe in the main account, I don't owe anything. But if I look at the household of the Bessons, of the water trading entity, our combined consolidated financials, and my wife is owing 2.9 billion rand and I'm owing zero. For our household, we are in debt of 2.9 billion. Is that correct with the department as well? Yeah, it should be. Can't be otherwise.
Well, I think when you look at it to say how much does the DG owe, you'd be correct. But because now they are accounted for separately, this overdraft becomes ring-fenced within the financials of water trading entity, and that remaining surplus becomes ring fenced within the main account, because that one is, if they haven't spent it, they actually would have to surrender it, and unless if they can get into concessions with National Treasury to say this is my accruals bills.
Yeah.
And I think secondly, on whether the 2.9 becomes the complete amount, the 2.9 becomes what they have already spend out of the bank, which they didn't have to finance some of the creditors. However, at year end, they still need to prepare a list of all the guys who have already provided them with a service which they haven't as yet paid. That becomes a liability. So you lump both liabilities, the one where I owe Reserve Bank,
yeah,
and the one where I still owe Honorable Chair, but I haven't advanced the money on. So when they account for it, they account for all their liabilities in totality. So you will see the overdraft as a liability, and then you'll see the what I owe the Honorable Chair because I did not advance any cash to him. But it gets ring-fenced within the financials of what?
Fundamentally, is the ability for the department to deal with its debt book fundamental for me. And that debt book and the figures have also been very inconsistent. So that's what you're dealing with. On one occasion you're going to hear the CFO for water trading entity talking about municipality owing 5 billion and water boards owing 4 billion. But be that as it may, fundamentally for me, the issue at hand here is the ability for the department to be able to recoup what is owing to itself, whether from municipalities or from water boards. Now that's what is at the heart of it for me. And also going forward, these same municipalities even owe yourselves. Not just 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years. They owe even your electricity, ESCOM. Especially the rural municipalities. So for me, those are the critical issues that you are equally expected to deal with. Of course, it is food for thought. We may not be able to deal with it now. Let's thank the Office of the Auditor General. How we would wish we could have been spending a lot more time. The issues are very important and are very critical, and also we are agreed that we need to have this exercise not only when we have annual reports or budgets, also when we have to deal with the quarterly reviews. We need to engage with this exercise. It will assist us with all these targets, whether or not in any intervening period there is any achievement of those. So with what you do, if you like, as these would be your management accounts, your quarterly reviews, effectively, they are your management accounts. So that shall assist us. The previous year or two, at this juncture, we had spent 10, 15, 20%. Today, we shall have spent 50%. Obviously, some red flag will begin to flick. Now, those are the kinds of things that we'll have to deal with going forward. Okay, members, having said so, we shall then have to move fast and thanking the Office of the Auditor General. And of course also we shall have to get back to the department with a full written request for submission for next week's Wednesday meeting. Time now is 5 minutes before 12. Let's move faster. We have 24 pages. Mr. Chauke?
No. Chair, I thought that maybe as you deal with the... You've already packaged the issues for next week. I've raised a point earlier. I'm not sure if that point does it hold water, if there's still any need for us to engage on what was supposed to have been in the agenda item for last week's meeting and it was not dealt with. Are we saying we leave that part so that the issue of the budget that we're supposed to have received a brief on it, I'm not sure if we'll still have time or we'll just leave it, because I think we'll have had a clarity from this engagement that we've had here. And secondly, we took a resolution, Chair, that the water construction unit must appear, hence the report has now been forwarded. I'm not sure if we deal with this of next week. Are we packaging it for next week for it to appear so that we dispose of it? I don't know. You'll advise, Chair, if that's the approach.
Can I also say that isn't it going to be best for us to accept that report to stop the time next week? Because there's changes in the budget the minister has indicated from page 72 to page 100. But we haven't got. We've got to scrutinize those information to accept the budget.
You can use another mic, Mr. Oh, you
that's the point.
And you mean the report itself?
Yeah.
Or due to these changes you're making reference to?
Because we can have a budget on Friday, so we can agree with the Wednesday.
And how does it work, this three-day rule thing? Is it only when we have to deal with the annual reports?
Jim, my understanding is that that three-day rule only really applies when we're dealing with legislation. But I will... that is when the three-day rule becomes rigid. But if you want, I can just confirm on that before we close the meeting. But that has been my understanding, that only applies to legislation, that three-day rule.
Maybe coming back to you, Mr. Chauke, still on budget... I would have imagined what you are referring to is the department having to present to us the budget as of your last week's resolution, because it was not dealt with, am I right? Still, even there, there be no official from the department entrusted with that responsibility, whether accounting officer or both CFOs, we are in the situation. Suggestions? Mr. Chauke?
Just double check.
Chair, I would propose that we, because we have to have it, Chair. It can happen next week. We can schedule it for next week, and especially now that we have clarities, it will not take long. It will be good for the department and the two CFO, in fact, to present, and then the accounting officer then takes responsibility of what they're presenting. Then we'll have done our oversight on the budget. It's very important that we... The main issue that we're dealing with is budget, by the way. So it will be important that we have that day... session, Chair. Last week, definitely, Chair, there's been an oversight. It was emphasized strongly. And we had a lot of time, by the way, you know, Chair. But because the meeting was chaired by someone who sometimes, you know, has his own issues, so he missed that point. So I want to propose that we have it next week, Chair. So, okay, because it will help us to link, because these issues that are raised by Honorable Basson need to be responded to. It can't be left until we go to the debate and we don't even engage on those issues. So that meeting will be of such nature that it's able to clarify the two accounts, you know, and all the problems within each account, the overdraft and the, you know, the reserve banks and all of that. They will have to come out from that level. But again, it will help us to pin down into the construction unit. We are currently grappling to understand this animal called the construction unit. How does it feature into that, what you call issues? Yes, last week we raised issues of assets. I have not even looked at the report, Chair, that has been submitted. The assets under the construction unit, the capacity there, capacity, I talk of a number of things, that people that are employed there, you know, all that detail is important, because when you deal with finances, then we'll know that the 3,000 people, as it said, that they are employed, yeah?
Report is 2,700.
2,700, they're paid from what? Which account is paying them, you know, the lines of accountability and all of that, and who are these people? You know, and at what level are they employed? I think it's very important, Chair. So it means if we're to deal with the construction, it's important that we deal with the budget so that we can then link all of these things and look at the mandate. Construction unit, we're saying that they have more than 700 projects that they're running. I mean, more than 600 projects that they're running. At no point that this committee has ever been at their position to know what are these projects and all of that. So it will be quite a very important meeting. But this meeting will help us, Chair, when we go to the debate, that we can begin to make proper recommendations of what must happen moving forward. In fact, our report can then be tightened up you know, so that when we table the report of the committee, it's a report that has clear recommendation with full understanding of these issues that are still of a problem. In fact, they're still of a problem. So that's on that note, Chair, that if we can really work on the Wednesday, if we have a problem with our Wednesday, if we can be given and try the Tuesday, if possible, I'm not sure. It will make a lot of sense, Chair. It will help us.
That's what I was battling with in my mind, is to looking at the number of issues expected of us to be dealing with. I would imagine here we'll have to start off with the construction unit, getting a sense of what is going on, a fuller briefing. Following that shall be the budget, and then we deal with the report. Ideally for me, so that we don't really push ourselves too thinly, but also you have other members who are part of other committees here. I'm thinking of a Tuesday wherein we can deal with these matters on Tuesday, both the construction unit and also the budget, and then perhaps on Wednesday deal with the report itself. I've just inquired about the three-day rule. Indeed, it does not apply when we have to deal with budget reports. It's a proposal.
Yeah, I would second your proposal with a request. Listen, last week the chair said, we don't want the department here to come and explain the construction unit. We want the management of the construction unit, the directors. We want them here. Jay, if you have looked at the construction unit and the equipment that they do have, the workshop that they have, it's world-class construction unit that could build dams anywhere in the world, canals anywhere in the world. We've got it within our, you know, it's been built over many years. And there's a lot of transformation that took place. You can see the transformation that has taken place in that construction unit. So, Yache, I would like, I don't want the DG to come and explain. With all respect, Chairperson, he still has got to learn a lot before he can come. Let them, he can come here. Jay, but please, let the construction unit come and explain for themselves. What are they capable of doing, and why aren't they not doing certain stuff? And what is happening within the unit that they cannot function? Chair, please. But Chair, you know, but the department does not react on that, Chair. We ask for replies.
The message that is going to go through to the department is going to be as simple, as straightforward as such. That the committee had resolved upon last week. That we need to get those that are directly hands-on, day-to-day responsible. And of course also the senior official within the department, where they report to. So that's what we are dealing with. What I would propose we do, as I said, I guess it is agreed upon that we get the construction unit and then after we get the budget on the same day. But what I would propose we do, members, as we prepare especially for the construction unit and also for the budget as well, we go through the annual report of 2016-2017. I think it shall assist us a great deal as we prepare for that engagement for Tuesday. The annual report said the following in the past financial year, both in terms of the construction unit, also in terms of the budget itself, how money was spent, allocated or appropriated in the 2016-2017 financial year. And then, of course, also learning from those experiences, what are we planning to do this financial year, 2017-2018. I think it shall assist us a great deal. If that is fine with all of us, it then calls our meeting shorter. And they're having to thank everyone for having been able to be here in Gostobekulu. Members, the meeting is adjourned until we meet next week on Tuesday.